creator of Inner Compass Cards. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so if you guys are not familiar with Inner Compass Cards, we'll obviously dive deeper into what they are, but I will say that we just had our first real meeting and you gave me a reading with your new love deck, and it was incredibly deep and opening for me. I'm not going to go into specifics as I was planning, but it was very intimate and really beautiful. And so what you've created is just incredible. So thank you for sharing it with me.
Thank you for being there and opening up. And yeah, we went really deep, but yeah, I think you and I are not afraid of going deep. So yeah, pleasure to meet you in real life finally. And
yes.
Thank you for showing up and opening up.
Thank you. I would love to hear, we were just saying this before we hit record, I haven't heard the story of how you first created Inner Compass. So if you wouldn't mind sharing what started it all, I would love to hear the story.
All right. Well, so I started creating Inner Compass cards about 3 to 4 years ago now. It was launched 2 years ago, so it took me like 1.5 years to create it. But I have to admit there was like a whole bunch of life lessons and spiritual journey before I got to that point. So I think I was around 10 years, like very committed to my spiritual growth already before I started doing this. I didn't know that it was going to be my profession though. But yeah, so I learned a lot. I read a lot of books like Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra and Osho and, well, you name it, I read it. And I did a lot of retreats and like I really was committed to personal growth. But I also know that all the things that I was carrying, like I carried it as knowledge with me, like about living in the now and not identifying with your emotions. Like I really could have given lectures about it, but I was not like really living it. So one day around Christmas, my mom gave me these angel cards and I started using them every day. I went through a pretty big physical breakdown. I couldn't go to yoga anymore and no meditation because I was just my immune system and my nervous system were not working properly anymore, kind of broke down actually, caused by insomnia. And I started incorporating the cards into my daily ritual instead of yoga and meditation. And after a few weeks, I noticed that the cards were changing my life. And I was so impressed by that. Like I was finally integrating all those things that I had always wanted to live. And yeah, so I started analyzing because I had a very strong mind before I started living more intuitively. So I used that mind to analyze like how it works working with cards. And I was so amazed and impressed by it that I thought, yeah, it's time for a different kind of card deck, like more modern and different kind of style, different kind of language.
Yeah, your deck definitely looks very unique and different. I love the symbols, the line drawings. What inspired that? Was that something you were always called to, or is it a particular style?
No, I have to admit, I used to work in fashion and in interior design. So I'm always attracted, and I'm a double Libra, so I'm always aiming for harmony, and aesthetics is part of my life too. And being on the spiritual path, you sometimes forget that, but you know, it is part of me. And yeah, so I noticed that all the like very spiritual card decks out there were not fitting in my interior, so I was always hiding it. And I thought it was time for just one that you put on your coffee table and see it every day so that you use it more often.
Yeah, and to connect fully with what you're seeing if you have that disconnect where you're not into the artwork or the style. I felt very similar when I created my bath line. Like, no bath company really connects with my style, my vision. And it is weird when you're in a more spiritual side to still bring that in, but I think it's so important, like art and beauty, you have to connect to it.
Yeah.
On that level.
And this is also living your talents, right? If
yeah.
you see that it can be done different and you have the talent to do that, then that's your gift for the world, I think.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So it took you a few years to create it. What was that process like for you?
A very beautiful process because I'm a manifester, as you are, in a human design. So to be honest, creating things... yeah, it comes to me pretty easily. The process was a very pleasant one. Yeah, I enjoyed writing it. I never believed writers when they said, like, oh, it really came to me. I channeled it. I was like, yeah, that's... I would never believe something like that until it happened to me. Like, the text really came to me. And then I knew I didn't have a choice, that this really had to be born and that I was blessed to be the messenger.
Wow. So that was your first deck, but now you have a second deck, the
yes.
Love deck. Is it available yet? Or
it is.
Oh,
it just came out, actually. Yeah.
Amazing.
2 weeks ago.
Was that process different, creating the second deck?
Totally. Yeah. Well, no, kind of the same thing happened. Like, I had another topic in mind, like with my head. I had decided that it would have been a different topic, so turned out to be love cards, but I had another topic in mind, and I wanted to write it on Bali in the beginning, the first 2 months of 2019. But then things happened in my love life, and I started journaling about it, and suddenly I saw three beautiful themes and like written cards in front of me, and I was like, uh-oh, we're gonna make a love deck here. And the process was slightly different, because from the in the first deck, which is all about finding the direction in life, I had most of the life lessons behind the themes, I had behind me. But for the love cards, which this deck is all about, well, it gives you guidance for all of the relationships that we have in our lives. So it doesn't have to be romantic. It can also be with your mom or annoying boss or with the kids or whatever, or your romantic partner. And yeah, I went through the life lessons while I was creating it. So that now I'm very grateful, but at a certain point it was way too much to deal with another, like letting in someone into my life and then let go. And because, you know, it needed, now in hindsight, I can see that all these things needed to happen so that I felt like was what was going on and what a person would need in a situation like that. So I know now, I'm very grateful, because now I just know on a deeper level that this really can change relationships, like for the better, can consciously bring people closer together, or even maybe conscious uncoupling, or maybe even safe relationships. Yeah, so it was a tough process, but I'm happy and I'm grateful that I was able to do it, because now it's, yeah, I hope it will save a lot of relationships all over the world.
Yeah, I know from just I think we only pulled four cards total, but those four cards, just the message that came, the way that they had me think about things, almost from a different perspective, I could see how powerful that would be moving forward. And I'm really excited to pull one every day. I personally like pull cards. I was showing you, I have an oracle deck, a tarot deck, a intention deck, but I think focus on relationship is really an interesting take, because that's every single thing in your life has to do with relationship. So
that's what I believe and see too. Yeah. Yeah. That's the most important. You know, without our relationships, our community, we are nothing.
Yeah. I think that's a huge, huge thing moving forward. We were talking about with shadow work, even every single person in our day to day is like meant to help us along our path or show us something. And yeah, I think the focus on relationship is huge because I think spirituality, or I don't want to generalize, but this type of community is very much self, self, self. And I think it's how you can connect with the other is really important. So I'm excited to see what other cards you have in the deck, because those four were very powerful for me. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, it was pretty deep.
So in all honesty, if you're listening, our plan was to do the reading and then discuss the reading in the podcast, but it's a little fresh and I want to keep it to myself. But how do you suggest people use the deck? So do you suggest like one card a day? Do you have any like sort of guidelines, or just intuitively, however you see fit, here's the deck?
No guidelines, I would say. There is a manual and it has suggestions. But for me personal, for example, I have phases in my life that I like to use them as a daily ritual, just every morning, or just see what comes to me. Like, because I really believe that by picking a card blindly, we tune in to a different intelligence. I like to call it the subconscious or the intuition. And so your subconscious picks a message for you basically for that day. But right now I'm actually in a phase that I use them when I have a specific question, which happens like, well, at least 2 or 3 times a day. So now I use them, not on a ritual kind of basis. I don't do it in the morning, but just during the day when a question or an issue pops up, I take one of the 2 card decks out to solve it.
I like that. Yeah, it's really interesting, though, that if you are doing a daily practice, how that theme can show up for you and help you approach situations differently.
Yeah, and it's insane how that, you know, that part of our system knows where we're at and what we need to hear. Because what you said yourself, and I've experienced that many times too, there is weeks that you keep on pulling the same cards. And then that's exactly the life lesson, what you are going through and need to learn at that point in your life.
For sure. That does keep happening to me. It's like, I'm listening, I'll read again.
Yeah. I have to say, like, I'm a very optimistic person myself. So I wrote the cards in a way that it gives you positive guidance. So it's not like, I know that like the word life lessons can be pretty deep, you know, and seems like you need to work hard or anything. But this, what we hear from our users and community the most, is that like it gives you peace and confirmation that you're on the right track, and or the, you know, just a little push to change directions. And
I also love the theme of it being inner compass, though, because I do feel like seeking any sort of advice or information, or asking other people what they think, it's almost like not wanting to utilize your own power and just be told what to do. But I really like the theme of your deck being like inner compass. I truly believe everybody knows exactly what's best for them inside. And this almost feels like a way to support that in a manual, and to keep it like between yourself and yourself, if that makes sense.
Totally. I noticed that like a lot of people like to follow the guidelines that others give them, or like you see it happening on Instagram and online trainings and in meditation practices. But I choose to not do these kind of things, because I cannot tell you what works for you. Mm-hmm. So I developed the cards in a way that it connects you to your inner knowing and inner compass.
I love that.
Yeah, because your way, you know, your path is different from mine. And like, for example, I'm not into yoga anymore. So it would be weird if I advise people about yoga, but also I found that it doesn't really work for me. It's too much of, I don't know, another strict thing that I should or must do, you know? And for me, the, how would you call it in English? It's exciting. like undo the musts, haves, must do's. That was so much more important for my path to, because I developed the cards also in a way that you come out of your head and drop into your heart and start living from there. So then we, you know, we get back to that inner compass.
That's beautiful.
Inner knowing part. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a big thing with that, though, of people telling people what they should do and even the need to like go seek that out. And I've learned that personally. I've realized I should stop asking for advice from others, especially if I know that it's the only reason why I'm doing it is to affirm what I already want to do. It's like, that's unnecessary to bring someone else in on it. And that's kind of how I lead New Moon Circles. And it's kind of the same way I design it, as it's a question that I'm asking people for themselves to answer for themselves. We do like a journaling or like meditations that surround that. And I never like preach. And I always wonder if people show up and they are expecting something else or expecting me to like tell them any sort of answer. And it's like, oh no, I'm here doing the work too. I'm asking myself questions. Sorry, I don't have any insight for you.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah. That's but funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of, I'm a big Alan Watts fan. I don't know if you are as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
If I could have dinner with one person who's not alive anymore, it would be him.
Really?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I just got a t-shirt with his face on it and my boyfriend's like, okay, you've gone too far.
I like that.
But
wow, I want to see it.
Yeah, I wish I was wearing it right now. Yeah. I love it. But I really think that what I'm gaining from him right now and what I'm hearing a lot and reading a lot is this idea of like, I should be doing this or I want to be doing this. Like, if you are the self that is also improving yourself, like it's just a contradiction almost. Like, there should be no shoulding or wanting. It's like you're doing
totally.
What you're doing.
Yeah. I think we just came out of an era of like thousands of years of must do's and shoots and. But I think we're, you know, that all comes from the mind, like mm-hmm. a to-do list or your own calendar. It's all filled with, I should do this, I have to do that. And that's not living from the heart. That's not living intuitively. And, well, it's been a journey, but since a while, I don't have to-do lists anymore because it was, first of all, it was freaking me out. Like it weighs as a pressure on your shoulders, you know, and it keeps you away from an intuitive life, actually.
Yeah. And it almost seems comparative, like you're comparing if someone was doing what you feel like you should be doing.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep you.
Yeah. And this was really funny. At another podcast interview, the girls, it was Prana Up Your Life, two girls from Germany. And they said, like, we had the same kind of conversation. And they said, like, it's really nice all the talk that we are doing here, like, about living from the heart. But, like, most listeners would ask, like, how? You know, do you have any tips? And so I started thinking of that. And I'm like, the thing that helped me the most, because, you know, for a lot of people, this is next level living. And it really suits me. And I believe it would, like, well, life becomes very magical if you live more, because you don't plan it all out. Like, there is no space for magic, for like surprising encounters or whatever. You cannot like plan your entire love life, for example. If you're single, you cannot plan it like when it will happen, you know? This is actually what life is too. There can be so much more out there for you than you think, or it can be so much faster if you know where you're heading, like career-wise or whatever. We tend to want to plan all the next steps, but like there's magic waiting if you let all of that go. And the thing that helped me most here is that I started asking myself, like, well, maybe almost 100 times a day, like, what do I need right now to feel well? So in order of going from the first to the second on the to-do list, or just like from meeting to meeting, I started to have less meetings in a day. I like to have one meeting a day now, for example, and then I really look forward to it. And if there's four planned, I'm like, you know, there's nothing to look forward at because it freaks me out. And the mantra, what do I need right now to feel well, really helped me to open up for whatever life wants to bring in to my days. And I really noticed, and so you can it feels like it was proved that life will take better care of you than we can even imagine with the mind.
I really like that. I like that a lot. I feel like that was actually a question in one of the last card we pulled. I think it asked something really similar, the number one card. I'm not sure what the name of that card is, but it had number one. I think it said, what do you need right now? And I was like, that's such a good, keeps you present, keeps you listening, keeps you connected. It was really powerful. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, this is fast. I love meeting you in person. This is so great.
Likewise. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. And I feel like it's so easy to, I love reading Alan Watts. I love listening to his talks. I love talking with you about this, but it's so funny to watch myself get tripped back up and, oh no, I need to plan. I need to plan, especially with a big change that's happening in my business. It's like, what am I going to do? I needed to hear you say that sometimes life can have better plans for us than what we plan. Yeah. Staying open to that.
Totally. Like there's so many, like for all of us, there's so many experience that we had that felt like magical. And it was mostly the ones that we didn't plan.
Yeah.
Well, I think always, but
yeah, leaving room for it and staying present. I love that.
Yes.
So you said you don't practice yoga anymore. What self-care practices do you enjoy? Do you have any that you come back to? What keeps you well?
Well, I have to admit, I do go to Kundalini yoga every once in a while, especially when I'm in Venice, like here in LA. I go to Guru Jagat. I think you guys pronounce it differently, but me and my friends back in Holland, in Europe, we call her Guru Jagat. But here it's something like Jagat, I think. What keeps me sane and stress-free is the mantra that we just mentioned. What do I need right now to feel well? And I have this thing that I go to the movies like 3 or 4 times a week, just to tap into a different story than, you know, my own life. And that's kind of how I unwind from things.
I love that. Has there been a movie that you've seen recently that really you connected with?
Totally. Marriage Story.
Marriage Story.
I think it's on Netflix now too, but I saw it in a theater. Insane. And I cried so like deeply that it felt like releasing trauma from, I must have been past lives because I haven't been through a divorce myself, but breakups in my life, but a touched deep levels because it was so well acted and well directed.
I really enjoy watching movies or shows, and everyone has like tried to say that like television is bad or TV is bad, but really, if you're watching and consuming the good artful content, it's not necessarily bad. You can't label it as bad.
Well, and especially I noticed now even consciousness is even, well, to raise consciousness, that's even now my profession. Yeah. So I really need to, but we are living in on this earth, you know, in 2019, almost 2020. So I like to stay down to earth as well. And Netflix helps a lot with that. I cannot, you know, it's nice to see Alan Watts and listen to his voice almost every day, but you cannot like go on with that 24/7 because then it's just too much and you will lose connection with people that are living on this on this earth, you know?
Yeah, get that for sure. It's a fine balance of staying grounded and why we are here. I do think though, it can be really refreshing to tune into another story, like you were saying. I like that. That's part of your practice.
It is, actually, because I was also watching Modern Love on Prime. It's based on the Modern Love series from the New York Times. And that really felt like, well, and a lot of shows that I think you subconsciously pick also movies and shows to work on yourself, like... I only started crying a few years ago because I don't know, I just had built up so many walls around me and I stripped them down now. but it really feels like you need it sometimes to tap into that like story that you're watching. And it works on different consciousness levels. So it... Yeah, and I believe that crying is releasing, like crying is healing. So that's, and also happy feelings that comes from movies, you know? It's also, you take it in and it can heal you.
Yeah, I'm
crying. And the opposite can also happen, you know? Like if you watch a lot of violence or whatever, that it affects our system.
For sure. And I feel like the more I'm tuned into myself and I'm more relaxed and at peace, I can like understand how it's affecting me more and decide like, I'm not going to watch this one with you. Like Bentley does watch some pretty intense, like I'm not into zombie shows or that much. And like, I realize it affects me more when I'm tapped into that sensitivity. But the one that I'm really liking right now is The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Me too.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And it's really funny because I started watching it the moment that it also started for me that I was invited to give talks on stages and things like that. And I was really afraid of public speaking. So again, it found me on the right timing, you know?
It's so good. I love that whole time period as well. It felt like such a big shift. I'm like looking at 1950s clothes even. I'm like, I want to be in that time period.
Yeah, me too. That's so funny. Wow. I had the same experience. Yeah.
And it's really cool to see, especially back then, like her role of like stepping into this newfound thing that women weren't normally doing and just going for it. And
it's healing in many ways. Yeah, for me, well, in particular, because you know, she's playing this comedian in the beginning of her career, and she's very comfortable on stage, so it really helped me to tune into and to tap into what I was watching, but also what you say, there's so much healing about it, like it's very important message for this, you know, we're still not living in an equal world, however we're the same species. To me, that's very weird still, but
and I think too, the finding comedy within that is so important, especially the world can feel so heavy. Any issue that you want to tap into, like climate change or the planet or the inequality or suppression or just every little thing is so serious that I think comedians bring this really powerful, different look at things that it takes off the edge so much that then we can look at the issues a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Dave Chappelle just did a stand-up that was really intense about school shootings, but like the fact that he's able to like look at something so differently is
yes.
really neat.
I like that too. Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of believe, I always like to zoom out and take a look at the bigger picture.
Manifestor.
Even, yeah, manifestor qualities. But also, you know, what's happening now with so many comedians on Netflix, but also in politics. I think everything happens to raise consciousness and awareness.
Yeah.
That's the era that we're in, living in now to... you know, from narrow-minded to, well, seeing the bigger picture. And that starts from within, with awareness.
For sure, for sure. I wanted to ask you, what is exciting to you right now? What's on your horizon? Is there anything that you're working on or anything you're doing that just really excites you and lights you up?
Yes, I feel very, very grateful and blessed to be back in the States to do my little Love Cards promo tour and meeting people like you. That's actually what I'm very excited about. Yeah, so I randomly invited some people who really, really inspired me, mostly on Instagram, but that's like daily inspiration. So it's a big part of your life. And just to say, because I wanted to say thank you, I invited people over for a one-on-one love cards reading. And so that's, I'm in the middle of that now, and I'm very excited about it. And a few weeks ago, I met randomly this guy who offered to make the Inner Compass app.
Oh, wow.
And he's already very experienced in making apps for self-reflection and things like that. So, and he has a team who can build it. So, yeah, that's going to be next on the horizon.
That is really exciting.
Yes.
That's awesome. Cool. I did have a question for you as well. We haven't touched on this. Are you, I noticed your ring maybe is a ruby. Are you into gemstones or crystals at all?
I used to be. I'm not sure if you're going to like this answer, but I noticed that where they were in my house, that there was also a dark energy there, like as if, and I'm very, like, I live in Amsterdam, which is a very old city. So there is a lot of, well, I think there's more history, so more, there must be more entities. And I feel that they like to be there.
Around the crystals.
Around the crystals, yeah. So I couldn't keep up with cleaning and cleansing them, so I kind of give up.
Do you feel overwhelmed, like even being around the ones I have in this room?
No, not
okay.
at all. No.
Like, sorry, I should maybe ask that before we sit down.
No, not at all, actually. But I don't have it in other people's homes or studios. But that's what was going on with my own crystals. So I gave them all away.
Really interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like I always pick a crystal that I feel like connects with the person. What I really wanted to bring into the room was an obsidian mirror, which I don't know if you've seen those, but it's like a black volcanic glass that it's a circle. It looks like a mirror. You can see yourself, but it's very like shadow work.
That's interesting because that's how we started off this day together. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like that's very shadow work based and yeah, it can be really powerful. I couldn't find for the life of me my obsidian mirrors when we were out there, but I also was bouncing if I thought you were more like clear quartz because you provide clarity and inner clarity.
That's really nice.
So if I picked one or the other, right now we have a lot of clear quartz in here. But yeah, I do feel like crystals can hold on to energy like you were saying. And that's
maybe I kind of have an epiphany about it now. Maybe because I got them for certain to heal certain parts within me, right? And maybe they had done their work, so they were now like open to heal those entities.
I definitely feel that way.
Yeah, because
well.
I don't have it. Like, that must explain why I don't have it with other people's crystals.
Yeah. And I think even the nature of where they came from, and I think a lot more people are trying to understand that instead of just like buying wherever they find crystals, really connecting to like, how is this taken out of the earth? Who touched this? What did it go through?
And I worked really, really deeply with most of them. Like, I remember that a psychic in Sedona recommended me to work with like a big citrine on the, what is that, the third chakra?
Yeah.
So
plexus.
I really sat and I slept with that crystal for months, you know? So I worked deeply with them. So maybe we were just done, you know, me and the crystal. And so because it didn't feel too dark to give it away, you know? I felt like whenever, with who I could share them and gifted them to.
Yeah,
because they did the work for me. Yeah,
I just had that conversation last night with my girlfriend Whitney that we're, us and Lexi, we're going through this like time where we look at one in our home and we're like, okay, that's ready to move on, and we've been gifting them, and I think that's really nice because then you know it's going to somebody that
and then also means that we don't have to dig out news from the earth, because the earth is maybe the entity that needs it the most right now.
Yeah.
At this point,
I personally feel like they are meant to be shared, but it does, obviously, in every single industry, like the why behind it, like why are we taking them out? And I feel like I can feel that energy with certain ones. I personally go to shows and meet one-on-one with the mines and the miners, which is really like you instantly know how something was sourced. And then the ones that are next to you, I pulled out the earth myself. So that's the most fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Those wow, that is so special. I've never done that myself.
I would love to take you. It's so fun. So when you are unearthing them yourself, I feel like it opened my eyes to a whole new like reason to have them and how to work with them. And yeah, it's so powerful to like...
That's a whole different connection.
Yeah, I pulled them out this one even. I
might, really? Yeah. The big one?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's really, that's kind of my connection to them. But I do feel like it's almost every industry or every topic, you've got to go like deeper through it. It's just kind of like how like, let's just say like nutrition, like someone can tell you like, you need to try this diet and this and this and this. And it's kind of the same thing with crystals. I feel like people are just like, you need this for money. You need this for this.
It is. I like it that you say that because I believe that like, every entity, every company, every product carries a certain frequency and energy. And that's what it's like shining into the earth or, you know?
Yeah.
So you feel the difference from in between brands. And yeah, it's so, so amazing.
Connecting to it like on a deeper level of like.
Yeah. And the more aware you become, you know, I guess all the people that listen to your podcast are on the same kind of journey. So the more aware you become, the more that you know what resonates with you and the more that you create your authentic life, like, you know what kind of brands carry the same frequency that suits you. And
I really appreciate that you answered so honestly, though, because I feel like most people might just be like, oh, yeah, I like crystals, sure.
Oh, yeah, that's, I'm Dutch, and we tend to be very blunt.
I love that, though.
Yeah,
it's refreshing.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with anybody that's listening or any message that you'd like to end on?
No, it feels like I've been talking a lot, so I took enough space, I think.
I so enjoyed talking with you.
Me
if
too.
People want to find you personally, how can they reach out to you, or should they follow along your journey on at Inner Compass? Is that the name of the...
At Inner Compass Cards
Inner
is
Compass
our
Cards.
Instagram. And we have a website, and it's called innercompasscards.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank Thank you so much for listening to Conversations with Moon Body Soul. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to hear more and leave us a review. If you have any special guests or any requests that you'd like to hear on the podcast, please send us an email to hello@moonbodysoul.com.